Chapter 2. My heart sank. We were already working on dismantling the dragon trade. What other news could they have about the dragons? Odin didn't know the council was working with me. I didn't even think he knew who I was. That would come later, and then he'd have to explain why he banished the dragons instead of saving them when he had the chance. It was one of his advisors who was originally responsible for the dragon trade, and though Odin sent him to Helheim, he'd banished the dragons from Asgard in the same breath. As much as I wished to speak to him and tell him what an atrocious decision I thought he'd made, I knew that needed to wait. We had to free the dragons before we could prove to him how intelligent and innocent they truly were. Odin's knowledge of our plan would cause more issues than it would help, so all I could do was to hope that wasn't what they were about to say.
"What's going on?"
I asked, and at the same time Blar hopped down from my shoulders, ran over to Prayna, and climbed up in her lap. The golden-haired sorceress smiled and stroked Blar's back, but then she turned back to me with a sad smile.
"Someone recently tried to sneak a dragon egg into Asgard."
"What?" The word left my mouth before I even had a chance to think, and my eyebrows pulled together with utter confusion as I stared at the council member.
"Who?"
"He was just a citizen," Rinbar said with a shake of his head. "We looked into him, and he had no military lineage or affiliations with the Vorbands."
"How did he try to get the egg here?"
Ira asked, and her green eyes narrowed slightly with focus.
"The Bifrost,"
Prayna answered, and she pursed her lips.
"Does Odin know?"
I asked through gritted teeth. The Bifrost was well guarded, and the guard on duty definitely would have reported the incident to Odin and the council.
"No."
Prayna shook her head.
"Thankfully, it was one of my trusted guards who was on duty at the time. Unfortunately, the man who had the egg didn't survive the incident, so we have no way of interrogating him and figuring out what realm he was coming from."
"Kaas recently showed me a spell. She's able to use something that belongs to a person and figure out where they've been. Perhaps we can do that here. I can go get her."
"I know the spell well,"
Prayna said, and her small smile reminded me she was a master sorceress. Of course," I frowned.
"He took preventative measures. Though the spell you speak of is powerful, it can only be used if the person's whereabouts weren't hidden beforehand. This man knew I'd be able to track him, and he took measures to stop me from doing it."
"Smart. It would make the most sense if they were bringing the egg back from Alfheim. That's where the largest dragon trade is."
"You're right. But then why hide where you've been?"
"Maybe they wanted to throw us off,"
the redhead suggested with a shrug. "That's feasible." I shook my head and reached up to rub the stubble on my chin. The majority of the dragon trade was in Alfheim, or at least that's what I'd assumed, since dragons were more easily accessible there. However, this had me rethinking that suspicion. Perhaps the trade was even larger than I'd previously considered.
"We're going to continue to look into the incident,"
Bea said, and his deep blue eyes regarded me with respect.
"We will let you know our findings."
I appreciate that," I told him with a nod. "And the egg?"
"It is safe. I put it in the room with the others."
Dragon eggs could remain dormant for centuries, and the council had been collecting them from incidents like this or other realms during battles, since the dragons had been banished. They'd accumulated quite a few at this point, and I'd personally seen them up close. Each one was more beautiful than the last, and part of me wanted to hatch them all, but that was out of the question for the moment. One day, though, I'd bring them to life. They didn't deserve to stay in their eggs forever. They deserved to live.
"Thank you,"
I smiled softly.
"We will always do what we can to help you and the dragons,"
Prayna told me. The little yellow dragon made a small cooing noise then, and she peered out from behind Ira's long, elegant neck.
"Speaking of dragons," Rinbar laughed in his deep, booming voice. "It seems you have a new addition."
"Yes, we freed at least 20 dragons from a dealer today, most of whom were babies. She was with the group.
Only she didn't have a home to go back to.
Oh, you poor thing.
Prena frowned. Oh, she's all right. I smiled. She seems to have really taken to Ira.
I can see that. May I come see her?
Of course, I said, and I turned to the little yellow reptile. Are you up to meeting some friends? The little girl looked at me with hesitant pink eyes, but then she took a deep breath and nodded. I waved for Prena to come down, and Bea and Rinbar followed. All three of them were obviously excited to meet our newest baby, and I couldn't blame them. Puppies were cute and all, but there was something so incredibly adorable about a baby dragon. I suspected part of it was that dragons grew to be huge, magnificent creatures, and to see one so small and vulnerable sparked a natural instinct to care for the little beast. A wide smile spread across Prena's face as she approached Ira and the little dragon. Bla laid down at her feet once she stopped, and she absent-mindedly brushed her toes back and forth to pet his belly.
Aren't you just the most beautiful little creature?
Prena cooed, and she held out her hand for the little girl to sniff her.
What's her name?
Svas. Ira named her.
And a fitting name indeed.
Prena said as she turned to flash Ira a smile. Then she turned back to the little yellow dragon.
You are a sweet girl, aren't you?
Svas let out a little coo and rubbed her head against Prena's hand. Don't hog old the dragon, love. Rinbar chuckled, and he playfully bumped into Prena and held his hand out for the little girl to smell. Hello, Svas. I'm Rinbar. The yellow dragon's eyes widened slightly, and she looked to me nervously, but I simply smiled and nodded to reassure her. Rinbar was a large man, so of course this tiny creature would be somewhat intimidated at first, but there was no reason to be. The council member had earned a reputation for being quite ruthless over the years, both on and off the battlefield, but I'd yet to see that side of him since I'd been working with the council to free the dragons. The large man was easy to laugh, and Ufe seemed to really like him. To me, he just seemed as soft as anybody else. Then again, most people didn't get to see him interact with baby dragons. Svas bumped her head into Rinbar's fingers, and he laughed and scratched under her chin. Her entire body lifted up for a second from the force of him pushing on her jaw, but it was brief, and she sneezed and let out a little coo that sounded like a laugh. Ah! Ha! Ha! I think she likes me, Rinbar said, and his laugh echoed in the great hall. May I? Bea asked, and he held out his hand, palm up, for the little girl. Svas looked at me and then sniffed Bea's hand before she stepped off Ira and onto the council member's palm. You are magnificent, Bea said in his soft, serious voice. He smiled and reached his other hand up so he could gently stroke her head with a single finger. Svas. A sweet name for a sweet dragon. Svas cooed again, and then she yawned, turned in a circle, and laid down in Bea's hand. We all shared a laugh, but Bea just pulled her close to his chest and curled his hand around her so she could sleep soundly for a moment.
And I thought she liked me,
Ira said, and her voice was tinged with a playful hint of jealousy. She does, but it seems she likes Bea too.
He has a very calming presence,
Prena said, and she patted her fellow council member's shoulder.
I'm sure this little girl appreciates that right now. She's been through a lot.
Oh, she has. I nodded. I watched Bea look down at Svas with total adoration. As much as he liked the other dragons, and they liked him too, it wasn't the same. Whenever we visited the council, both Inga and Bla would immediately run and jump into Prena's lap, while Ufe made his way over to Rinbar. None of the dragons had taken to Bea, the way Svas seemed to, and I was happy he would now have a dragon to sit with him when we visited.
Valver here,
Ira said, and the council members looked up at her.
I'd like to speak with you about replacing me indefinitely.
Indefinitely?
Prena asked, and a worry line appeared on her forehead.
That's right.
The redhead nodded.
We can't say for sure how long it will take to save the dragons and put an end to this nasty trade. But however long it takes, I don't want to miss a second of it.
Ira is an incredible warrior, and she is an invaluable asset to our team. She has been extremely helpful over the past few days. Of course, she didn't earn her position by being weak.
If he'd like to stay, then I don't see why you shouldn't,
Bear said, and his blue eyes locked on mine.
We know this has been, and will continue to be, a long, difficult process. We appreciate everything you're doing, and we will provide all the assistance we can, including replacing Ira for the time being.
I'm sure we can find some asshole eager to take over for a while. Or maybe we'll give the position to Hagar. Steam nearly came off Ira's head with that comment. Hagar was the biggest, dumbest man in our warband, and I knew the thought of him leading our crew made her want to strangle someone.
You so much as tell Hagar the position is open, and I will personally skin you myself and wear your beard as a hat.
Rinbar's resounding laugh filled the hole again, and he reached out to pat Ira on the shoulder. This is why you're my favorite warband leader. Everybody else seems like they're scared of me.
I can't imagine why.
Miss, you are quite intimidating.
Prena giggled and picked up a piece of Rinbar's wild hair to display how unkempt he was.
You'd think you could afford a brush on the council member's salary.
Why would I want one of those? Rinbar asked with a grin. I shook my head at his ridiculous comment, but then I felt a hand on my arm, and I looked up to see it was Prena's.
Rath, may I speak with you privately?
She asked, while Ira and Rinbar continued to go back and forth. Of course. I nodded, and my stomach turned in anticipation. I followed the beautiful golden-haired sorceress over to the hallway that led to her private office chambers, and she quietly led me inside the large room and shut the door behind us. The smell of her filled the air, and my body reacted with a raised heart rate and sweaty palms. I didn't know why she wanted to see me privately, but right then I didn't care. I was just happy to be alone in a room with her. Of course I had Cass, Asta, and Ira. They were my women, but we had an understanding. They knew I'd never do anything to hurt them, and they'd already given me the go-ahead to pursue Prena. Though, with her status, that was easier said than done. The council member seemed to want me too, though nothing had happened between us yet. I often caught her looking at me with eyelids heavy with desire, and her sweet stares never failed to make my stomach flutter with hunger. As a council member, though, Prena was considered incredibly high up in the hierarchy of Asgard. Not only that, but she was also Odin's personal sorceress. She handled any magic business he needed her to, which only made her that much more unattainable. I'd thought she was stunning from the moment I saw her, but I never expected to want her so badly. Even still, she was out of my reach, and I knew I had to keep my wits about me. What did you need to speak to me about? I asked as I sat down on the deep green-colored couch.
I have a gift for you,
she said, softly, and she walked behind the desk across from me and opened the drawer. Gift? I asked, and my eyebrows pulled together. That wasn't necessary.
I suppose it's not a true gift per se.
Prena chuckled in the sexiest way, and she walked back around the desk with something in her hand.
There is a purpose to it, after all.
What is it? I asked as she sat down. Her golden hair pooled all around her, and a large section of it fell onto the couch to tangle around her hips and thighs.
Here.
The sorceress said, and she held her hand out and opened it. Inside her palm was a small white crystal. The smooth rock was attached to a long silver chain, and as I looked at it, it began to glow a golden color that reminded me of
Oh, Prana's long locks. It's beautiful, I said as I reached out to touch the amulet. My fingers grazed Prana's palm, and my stomach jumped in response. I saw her chest rise and fall quickly, too, and I smiled inwardly that my touch had affected her so.
I made it specifically for you. You should wear it at all times.
What does it do? I asked curiously, and I carefully picked up the stone and turned it over in my hand.
It will light up when I need to speak with you,
Prana said with a small smile. Oh, I gulped and nodded. Yes, this seems like it will be very handy in case I need to know some council business.
Right.
Prana agreed, and she bit her lip for just a split second. Will it also allow me to alert you when I need to speak to you?
It will,
she said, and she reached to her neck and pulled an identical amulet out of her ample cleavage.
All you have to do is hold the stone and focus on me.
Shouldn't be too hard. I said before I could think of something less obvious.
Why don't you give it a try?
She suggested with a gesture to the amulet in my hand. Ah, yeah, of course. I agreed, and I pulled the chain over my neck and grasped the crystal with one hand. I closed my eyes and focused on Prana in my mind. It wasn't difficult, since she was just inches away from me, but it did nothing to help my accelerated heart rate. All I could think about was how incredibly beautiful she was, how her long golden hair would cover her breasts if she were naked, and how her perfect hourglass figure would fit up against my own body.
It's working,
she whispered, and I opened my eyes to see her amulet was now glowing with a bright goldish-white light. Oh, it's incredible, I breathed as I took in the sight of the glowing amulet against her chest. Thank you very much.
It's part of my job. I am the sorceress for the castle, after all.
Yeah, right. But you've also taken on the task of assisting me with dismantling the dragon trait, and, well, I understand you're doing it because you believe it to be the right thing.
It is the right thing. It's the only thing we can do.
Oh, yeah, I know. I smiled softly at her. I was just going to say I know the secrecy of it puts some strain on your relationship with Odin and your job as castle sorceress. So I appreciate you making me this amulet even more.
Oh, well, yes, I suppose it does.
She nodded and looked down. Are you all right? I asked, and I so badly wanted to reach out and lift her chin so she would look at me, but I held my hands back.
I'm fine,
Prana said with a small smile, and her light brown eyes met mine.
Well, I was just thinking about the new little dragon you found.
Svas. Yeah, I think she will fit in well.
Yes. She made me think about all the eggs we've accumulated over the years. I hope someday you can hatch them, and they can live a full life like Svasvilget. I know they won't have a mother, but we will all help take care of them.
Oh, I know you would. I hope one day I can hatch them too.
Soon.
She sighed, but then she looked up at me and smiled.
You said you all took out a deal earlier today. You don't look too bloody.
Oh, no. Cass used her magic to clean us up. But yes, we took out one of the smaller dealers.
I am always so incredibly impressed with you,
Prana said, and her brown eyes narrowed as she looked me over.
You never asked for greatness, yet it appeared in your life anyways. You were destined for much larger things than you ever realized.
Isn't that how it always is?
Hardly,
the golden-haired sorceress said seriously.
From the time I was little, I showed such a control over my magic that I began training to take over as the castle sorceress when I was only 12 years old.
Oh. My brow furrowed, and I cocked my head to the side as I saw Prana in a new light. I never knew that. It must have been a lot of pressure.
Oh, it was.
She smiled.
But it was well worth it. My point is, I and many others who achieve high stations in life have prepared for them for decades. You were a warrior, yes, but I checked into your history. You never once applied to be a leader, though you had all the right skills to do so.
I just never felt like it was for me. I shrugged. I was happy under Ira's leadership.
Ah, yes.
Prayna pursed her lips and looked down.
How is it working with her?
I sensed a bit of jealousy in her response, and I couldn't help the smile that came over my face. Oh, she's very valuable to my team. Thank you for suggesting she come with us.
Anything to help the cause,
Prayna said with a small nod. Speaking of that, we should probably get going soon. Kaas and Asta are alone in Alfheim, and I don't want to leave them past dark.
Yes, I think it's best if you get back to them. They are fierce, but they are not warriors like you are.
Not yet, anyway. I chuckled and stood up.
Be sure to use that amulet when you need to.
She told me as we walked out of her chambers and down the hallway to where Rinbar, Bea, and Ira all stood and chatted. I will. Ira, I think it's time we get back to Kaas and Asta.
I was thinking the same thing,
the redhead said as she turned to me.
It's nearly dark.
Bla ran over to me, licked his lips, and flew up on my shoulder. Yes, we'll get you some dinner. I'm sure Kaas has made something delicious. The little blue dragon wrinkled his nose, but I just chuckled and shook my head.
I'll walk you to the door.
Oh, thank you, I said, and I followed her swaying hips to the double doors across the great hall. Once we got to the doors, Prayna opened them so Ira and I could step through.
You two be careful.
We will, I told her with a smile, and then I turned round to head down the stairs.
Oh, Andrath?
Prayna called after me. I turned back toward the council member, but as I did, she grabbed hold of my tunic and pulled me to her to capture my mouth with hers. I didn't know what I'd expected, but it certainly wasn't that.